weeks. We are in the middle of our stewardship renewal of our diocese and the renewal of our stewardship pledges of time, talent, and treasure. And so as we're in this process of making our renewal and our recommitment, through these 3 weeks, I've kind of been taking the model from Monsignor Magritte of preaching a three-week series, 1 week on time, 1 week on talent, and 1 week on treasure. And so 2 weeks ago, I preached about time. Last week, I preached about talent. And today, I'm going to preach about treasure. And so just this, again, just kind of a way of coming to understand and evaluating the gifts that we have been given and how we are returning them back to the Lord. I can't even think about, you know, the gift of treasure and tithing and stewardship in that regard without thinking of a story from my childhood back when I was really young. I was couldn't have been more than maybe 4 or 5 years old, something like that. And my family, we were members, parishioners at the cathedral in Rapid City, South Dakota. And we lived there for a few years. That's actually where my parents met, was in Rapid City. And so we lived there for a few years before we moved to Wichita. But so this was early, early years. And my parents had a practice. I mean, tithing was just one of the things we did. It just wasn't even a question. Like going to Mass and tithing. I didn't even know. I mean, honestly, I was probably 10 or 12 years old before I came to learn that there were people who didn't actually go to Mass on a regular basis. Like, I did not know that. And so... But tithing was just one of those processes that the first check that my parents would write every week was for the church. And everything else we would, you know, shift around to make it work. But that was first and foremost. And one of the things they would do is they would, for each of us kids, they would hand us, you know, a couple of dollars or some change or whatever so that each kid would have something to put in the basket as well. Well, one particular Sunday, I was handed a handful of change, coins, and pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, whatever. And I remember looking through this handful of change and thinking, a pack of gum is 25 cents. And I'm like, I could take one of these quarters and I could get a pack of gum later on when we go to the store. And so my life of crime began. And I take this quarter and I slip it into my pocket, and then the basket comes around. I put the rest of the change in, and a seamless plan, but for one flaw. My sister watched what happened, and my sister was a snitch, and so I got in trouble. And my parents were not the spare the rod type, if you know what I mean, right? So in the process of learning this and the process of getting called out, I just remember, I don't remember almost anything from being 4 years old or 5 years old, but I remember that. I remember that very, very clearly. And it was a lesson that has stuck with me the rest of my life. And that was the end of my life of crime. So, but the importance that was impressed upon me at 4 years old or 5 years old, that this belongs to the Lord, this is His, and we are returning it back to Him. That lesson has really, it stuck with me. Even, I mean, throughout the rest of my childhood, you know, whenever we got birthday money or Christmas money or whatever, like, we knew we were going to give 10% of that to the Lord. In high school, when I got my first job, it wasn't even a question. It was just, yes, this is what we do. We tithe. And even in college, poor college kid living off of ramen noodles, you know, you tithe. And so that's one of those things that I'm very, very grateful to my parents for instilling and impressing upon us as kids. Now, you know, the question of tithing or the question of giving money back and charitable giving and so on, like, I mean, that is one of the precepts of the church, you know, the bare bone minimums of what the church asks of us. Those precepts are like, you have to go to confession once a year during the Easter season. You have to go to Mass every Sunday. Those are the precepts of the church. But the fifth of those precepts is you have to support the church's mission financially. Now, it doesn't give a particular number, it doesn't give a figure, it doesn't give even a percentage per se. Just every Catholic is required to support the financially the mission of the church. But with that, like within our diocese, the way we operate on stewardship, the way we function, the only reason why stewardship works and why we're able to have Catholic education without charging tuition is because people are generous. You know, it costs whatever, between $5,000 or $6,000 per child per year to go through Catholic education. And most families, especially if they have two or three or four kids, they're not necessarily in a position to be able to tithe $20,000 to support their education of their kids. And it's, so it's the coming together, and it's the collection of all people who come together to support that mission of why we're even able to operate. There's a lot of principles, and what the diocese asks, and the kind of the principle that we lay out in our diocese, is that you would tithe 8% of your income to your parish, and then 2% of your income to some other charity of your choosing. Now you look at that 8% or 10%, and maybe oh my gosh, there's no way I could make that. There's no way I could make ends meet. And for some people, that is an unattainable. Seems like an impossible or unattainable goal. And yet, that is something that we should be striving towards and looking at or evaluating. Now, there's a couple other principles when it comes to tithing that I think are really, really important to understand. And I would direct you to St. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 5 through 8. Listen to what St. Paul says. He's writing to the early church of Corinth in terms of their tithing or their financial giving here. He says, "So I thought it necessary to encourage the brothers to go on ahead of you and to arrange in advance for the gift that you have promised, the financial gift, so that in this way it might be ready as a bountiful gift and not as an exaction." It's not a fee. It's not a tax. It's not a explicit. That's why there's not a specific number given to any particular person. It's supposed to be something as a free gift, a bountiful gift, but not an exaction. It is, though, supposed to be sacrificial. There's supposed to be an element of sacrifice that comes along with that. And with my family, like just growing up, we were poor. I mean, as poor as it gets, we were as poor as it gets. And the truth is, like, our tithe did not move the needle in our parish, I promise. It did not move the needle at all for the parish. But it did move the needle for us. And really, ultimately, that's what we claim, is that the proper stewarding of our time, talent, and treasure isn't so much about the effect that we have in the parish, in their broader community. It's not about what happens necessarily out there. It's about what happens to us. It is a spiritual principle. Because what happens, and there's, I didn't do as much research on this as I would have liked to, and maybe for future years when I preach about this, I'll do a little more research, but there's all kinds of scientific studies that have been done, psychological studies, about the effects, the psychological effect that happens to us for people who are generous and who give money financially. It changes us. It takes us from having this sense of, like, I mean, that's one of the temptations that we have. The sin of greed is directly counter-opposed by generosity. The greed that says, this is mine. This belongs to me. This is my determination. And like, you know, where greed comes along, and it's a vice that everybody deals with to one degree or another. Turns out that the generosity of giving is the polar opposite. It's how we overcome that vice. And it's why the Lord insists that we give generously. And the number doesn't even matter. It's the principle of the matter. It's why for me as a kid at 4 or 5 years old, that 25 cents, the church wouldn't have known if that quarter was there or not. But for me, It was huge. It was incredible. It was a life-changing moment that cost 25 cents. Tithing is supposed to be a matter of as a spiritual principle, that it helps us to become detached from the things that we're so quick to just grasp onto as being our security. And when we evaluate this and when we give back in generosity, it helps us to let go. Now again, I know for a lot of people, 8% or 10% of letting that go, it seems like an unattainable task. But I guess here's what I would challenge you to. I would give you the challenge of Daniel in the Old Testament. When Daniel, you remember Daniel in the lion's den, that whole bit, right? With Adarach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they didn't want to eat the meat that was offered to idols. And so they said, they told the guard who was in charge of them, don't give us the meat, just bring us vegetables, fruits and vegetables, and we'll eat that. And the guard said, no. If I bring you fruits and vegetables and you don't eat meat and you start looking sick and scrawny and unhealthy, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm not about to do that. You need to eat the meat that everybody else eats, even if it's sacrificed to idols. And so Daniel made him this deal. He said, I'll tell you what. You give us 30 days. Bring us vegetables. Allow us to eat vegetables for 30 days. And if at the end of those 30 days, if we look sick, if we look like we're behind, if we're looking off, then we'll agree to eat the meat. Is that a deal? It's like, yeah, okay, deal. Well, guess what happened? At the end of the month, they look better off than anybody else. And so they continue to be able to eat those vegetables. So here's what I would say to you in terms of your consideration of your tithing or your giving. If that 8% number looks unattainable, give it a trial run. Give it 30 days. Give it 60 days, 90 days, whatever it is. Give it a trial run. And if at the end of that trial, if you find that ends are not meeting, if you find that like things are not actually being taken care of that need to be taken care of, then readjust, reevaluate. Well, I can tell you from my own experience, the Lord has a way of providing. For us kids, 10 kids, incredibly poor. Somehow we still managed, mom and dad insisted that we give the portion to the Lord first. And somehow there was always enough. It always somehow seemed to work out. It was tight, but it worked. And that's a lesson, again, that my mom and dad impressed upon us of trusting the Lord. It had nothing to do with the quarter. It had to do with what I learned inside. And so, mom and dad, for those of you who have kids, I hope you are handing that on to your kids. I hope you're insisting that with their, you know, their allowances or whatever, their high teenagers and babysitting money, that there's a practice that we are developing and instilling this sense of like we give something back to the Lord. It's an incredibly important lesson to hand on. And in exchange for a quarter, we are given a gift of freedom, of an interior freedom that I am not owned by that possession. I can let it go without having to grasp after it. That's what freedom is supposed to make. So as you make your contributions, and you look through your stewardship renewal, may you be like St. Paul said. May you be a cheerful giver. May you give him freedom, not out of guilt, not out of a guilt trip, not out of, you know, a tithe or a tax or an expectation that this is what I have to do or I'm going to hell. If that's playing in, then that's a sign that something's off and something's wrong. There should be a freedom. There should be a joy. There should be a sense of generosity that happens, that's developing. And if that happens, that leads to greater freedom. But brothers and sisters, may we live our spirituality, may we live this gift of stewardship and live it generously.